Thank you, Mindy, for special music, reminding us again that we serve an awesome God, amen? An amazing God who loves us, who desires the best for each one of us. How many of you knew this opening hymn, that the one I chose today, 438, "You will see your Lord at coming." Can I see your hands? Few of you. This was one of the early Advent hymns. Powerful message, amen? And you have to imagine now James White walking down the aisle and singing it with joy. Singing, "You will see your Lord a-coming. You will see your Lord a-coming. In a few more days." God has given us an incredible message, amen? A powerful message, amen? A message that, yes, today many people think it's a little antiquated. It's something that might create uncomfort. But it's the message that the reformers preached. It's the message that the disciples preached. It's the message that the prophets of old preached. It's the message that Adam and Eve received from the voice, from the words of God himself. A message that you and I have the privilege of sharing today. An important message. Yes, a message of judgment. But a message not to destroy, but to save. Can we say amen to that? Amen. That's the Advent message. Jesus is coming again. We can see the signs. We know our world is in trouble, yes? We don't have to think about that too much. Today I want to share with you a great message found in the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 1 and 2. The word "great" appears in the book of Jonah 7 times. How many times? 7 times. And yes, human beings, we like greatness. In fact, this week I saw an email that said, "Being satisfied with good is the arch enemy of great." The book of Jonah talks about a great nation called Nineveh. Nineveh. The book of Jonah talks about a great wind and a great tempest, great fear. But I believe, above all, the book of Jonah speaks about a great God, amen? Who cares about us, who loves us. And yes, we like great too. We like great pay, amen? Yes? Great food? Yes? Great children? Yes, great friends. Amen. A great sermon. Amen. Amen. We'll find out after the sermon, yes? We'll find out. But it's for a time like this that I believe the Bible has a message for you and for me. A powerful message that we find in this incredible book of Jonah. Now, if I ask the question, how many of you have read the book of Jonah? Can I see your hands? Kids, do you know the book of Jonah? If I put this picture up there, let's see now. Help me out, Troy. Does that seem familiar? Yes. Okay, we see a whale above Jonah there, and I thought this was pretty cool. You can see a face. Hopefully you see it there in the middle of the great fish that swallowed Jonah up. It's a story, I think, that is probably the most popular story in the Old Testament. Maybe David and Goliath are right up there with the story of Jonah. These are stories that we have heard, that we have listened to. And I believe, brothers and sisters, there's a powerful message in the book of Jonah for you and for me. A message that needs to reach Fallbrook, a message that needs to reach California, a message that needs to reach our world. I thought this was a pretty cool picture too. What do you see there? See a little boat? And what do you see there? A big fish. Yes? I'll do this. Troy, you're going to have to help me out. Thank you. So yesterday I Googled. I went on Maps. There's application for Apple computers. And I thought, wow, how cool. When I rotated this globe, all of a sudden it was 1249 when I rotated it. And there I saw also the other side of the world, but it was in darkness. And you can see the lights there of Europe. And you just turn it around, and depending on the time, it's going to show. Thank you so much. Does anybody recognize this? The United States. All right. And does anybody recognize that? California. That's right. Does anybody recognize this? San Diego County. And then, yes, and you can see right there the solar panels. And it must be Sabbath because you see cars there, 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 and up here, and down here too. Brothers and sisters, do we have a message to share? A message that people in Fallbrook need to hear? A message that people in San Diego County need to hear? A message that people in California need to hear? A message that people in North America need to hear? A powerful message. A great message. And sadly, many times we forget what a privilege we have to share this message. A message that transforms. A message that gives life. A message that gives hope. That is our privilege. And the book of Jonah, the book of Jonah shares with us this important message. A message, yes, of judgment, but a judgment that saves. I think we read it during Sabbath school this morning. We have a message called the Three Angels Message. That first message, that first angel goes to the entire world, to all people, nations, tribes, and tongues. And the message is clear. Fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who created the heavens, the earth, the seas, and all that in them live. Clear message. So this morning, I would like to invite our church family to open your Bibles to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Jonah, chapter 1, where we find this incredible story of a man that was called by God the 8th century. Time of King Jeroboam. The second, the king who lived the longest or reigned the longest in Israel. And Jonah was called this time not to give a message to the Israelites, but who was he being called to give a message to? The Ninevites. I'm almost there. go. Obadiah and Jonah. Jonah chapter 1 verse 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city.'" I don't know about you, but if some of us have traveled, we've seen some nice cities, yes? Some beautiful cities, some great cities, yes? The great city of New York, the great city of Chicago, the great city of, and you can just. But I must tell you that San Diego is a very nice city, yes? If you've traveled around and you look at San Diego is right there on top cities of the world. Very nice when you come in, just it feels different, yes? You come in, it's kind of like relax, and you see the beautiful scenery, the boats, the city, and it's nice. But even San Diego, does it have crime? Yes? Does it have violence? Does it have traffic? Yes. Does it have corruption? It has all these things that come along or with being a great city. And Nineveh was no different. In fact, Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrians, this great nation that was trying to build power, trying to build its empire. I was reading a book this week on Assyria. And the author of this book presents Assyria as going into the nations and trying to conquer them. In fact, they would just say, "Hey, we won't conquer you. You just have to pay tribute to us. Just pay us tribute, you'll be fine." But if they didn't pay tribute, then they would send their armies and they would make everyone become an Assyrian. And both Assyrians who were born in Assyria and Assyrians who were not born in Assyria, they were all to be under the same yoke, under the king of Assyria. They had to learn the language. They had to share the skills that they had with the empire. And if they could contribute as well, that was very helpful for their enterprise. As we know, the Assyrians were the same people who destroyed Israel in the year 722. They came and took families apart. Let's say the Nunez family was living in, let's say, Bethlehem. And they would take Samuel, put Samuel in Nineveh. They would take Carolina, and they would put her in another big city. They would take my parents and put them in Babylon. And that's what they did. Every time they came and conquered, they separated families. They didn't want an identity to remain where people could come together and pose a threat to this empire. And of course, they brought other people in. And as we know, those who came back to Israel were then known as the Samaritans. Yes, they came back, but now they had no identity. They had no religion. Their religion now was this new gods that they had learned by the Assyrians because their god, quote unquote, were more powerful. They had conquered those nations. Jonah is given the task by God to go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, pronounce judgment against it. Was this good news for Nineveh, brothers and sisters? Yes, it was good news. Judgment is not bad news. Sadly, today, many people, even within the Adventist church, we believe judgment is bad news. But judgment is great news. If we come back and align ourselves with God, hey, we're going to be okay. But if we turn our back on God, then God says, hey, you will be destroyed. Not because I want to destroy you. In fact, the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23. I read, "Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? says the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his ways and live? 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Was God concerned about the Ninevites, brothers and sisters? He was concerned about the Ninevites. He didn't want any one of them to perish. God had sent prophets to King Jeroboam and the rest of the kings. He sent Amos. He sent Hosea. He sent Joel. He even sent Jonah to prophesy. But this time, God was calling Jonah to go to the Ninevites. They didn't know. They had not heard. And God wanted them to know and to experience salvation in him. But what did God's prophet, what did God's man do when he was called to go and preach the word? He ran away. He turned his back. He said, I'm going on vacation. I'm going to Tarshish. Does anybody know where Tarshish is? Spain, very good. Andalusia. So this is Jonah, right there, tribe of Zebulun. Joppa is probably right around there. And he decides to take a trip from right over here all the way to Andalusia, Spain. Wow! La Costa Brava, yes? Sunshine, probably cold over here. So I said, let's go get some sun. He was running away. Can we run away from God, brothers and sisters? There's no way we can run away from God. Jonah knew that. But yet he tried. He paid his fare. He went down into that boat to go with those sailors to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. From that moment on, we see the verb in Hebrew, yarad, go down, 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 I think four times. Did Jonah go down? He went down. He went way deep, yes? Verse 4 tells us the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. And there was a great storm, Sierra, yes, a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. It tells us something here. The sailors were afraid. How many of you have been on a ship? Were you afraid? No, probably not. Some of you, yes, are nodding your head saying, yes. I've been on a ship very few times, but I can tell you a story of being a youth pastor, inviting the youth to go to Catalina Island. How many of you have been to Catalina Island? All right, we've been there. So I said, youth, we're going to Catalina Island. That time, that was several years ago, my grandma was with me. She passed away last year, but grandma was with me. Praise the Lord for grandmas, amen? She was like, if I would say, let's go camping, guess what grandma would do? Let's go camping. Grandma, I have no sleeping bag. Don't worry, let's go camping. Yes, grandma was going to go with her grandson. Experience life and support and encourage and give counsel. So grandma and I, we went on this trip to Catalina Island with all the youth. And for whatever reason, that day, the waves were like this. Yes? And grandma and I thought it would be a great idea to get on the back of the boat. I don't know what that's called, but we were in the very back, and we were just watching the coastline as it was just kind of disappearing, going to Catalina, and all the youth were happy. They were inside talking with each other, and grandma and I were just talking. Wow, it's so nice, the weather, the breeze. wow, it's getting kind of warm in here, isn't it? Yes, Grandma. And we're talking. By the time we got to Catalina Island, Grandma and I were like, whoa! Grandma, are you okay? Yes, I'm okay. But I need a place to rest. We had to lay down for 3 hours, brothers and sisters. Those first 3 hours, I put Grandma on a picnic table. She was there. I was on the bench side just lying there just saying, are you okay, Grandma? Yes, I am too. We thought, well, I'm not even going to describe what we thought, but you know. So being on a ship is not always that pleasant. But imagine being on a ship with a mighty storm. A mighty storm where the ship is about to break. Those sailors were afraid, and they grabbed everything they saw in sight, and they started to just throw it overboard. Everything. There was a great loss that day. All their merchandise, they didn't care. We're throwing it over. We got to survive. We got to keep this ship together. And they were desperate that moment. They were so desperate that each one started to pray to their own God. They cried out to their own God, the Bible tells us. Could their gods hear them, brothers and sisters? They couldn't. They were made out of stone. They were made out of wood. They were made out of all these things that can't hear or speak. But they were desperately trying. And Jonah, the Bible tells us, was down in the ship. It says in verse 2, but Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had laid down and was fast asleep. How many of you love great sleep? Wow, that's great sleep. If you can sleep through a storm, I can imagine thunder, wind, you name it. And he is sleeping like a baby. And so we have Jonah down there. The captain, he comes and says to Jonah, what do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. Is our world sinking, brothers and sisters? Is the world saying, hey, does anybody out there have the solution to the things that are happening? They are saying it loud and clear. And here the captain approaches Jonah. The sailors, on the other hand, are coming together. They're casting lots and they're saying, let's find out who's at fault here. I mean, a storm now? It's supposed to be at another time, but now somebody here has done something wrong. How many of you like to win a prize? Well, this was one prize you did not want to win, okay? And they brought Jonah along, and Jonah's super quiet. He's not saying a word. He's just watching everybody around. And they cast lots, and everybody looks at Jonah and says, who are you? Where are you from? What's your occupation? What is your country? And of what people are you? Has anybody ever asked you that question, brothers and sisters? Has anybody looked at you and said, wait a second, you're kind of different there. Well, where are you from? Well, what do you believe in? Jonah answered in a very interesting way. He said, I am an Adventist. Amen? I am what? An Adventist. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made what? The sea and the dry land. Is that an Adventist message, brothers and sisters? powerful. Fear God. Give him glory. Worship him who created the heavens and the earth. I believe Jonah was an Adventist. It says, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And when they heard that, then these men were extremely, it says, greatly afraid. They even asked Jonah, why have you done this? You see, the Bible tells us the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Jonah, why did you get us into trouble? Why are you running away from the task, the mission that God has given you? These were heathen sailors. These were pagan sailors. And yet they knew that Jonah had a mission he needed to fulfill. A great message had been given to him to share to the Ninevites. And yet he was running from his duty. He was running from the presence of the Lord. Verse 11, they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? What must we do? Brothers and sisters, what must we do to calm the storms of our life? Well, what is it that we must do as human beings here, not just Adventists, not just Christians, as human beings, what is it that we must do to calm the storms in our world? Is there something we can do? There is something we can do. Where do we go? Do we go to our friends? Do we go to our family? Do we go to the pastor? Do we go to some big institution, government or private? Where do we go? There's only one place. There's only one place. And we can go always to him. Amen? He accepts us. He says, come boldly before the throne of God. Come. Come in your moment of need. Do you and I have needs? We do. And God says, come. Trust me. I have the solution to your greatest problems. Amen? God had sent messenger after messenger to the people of Israel. As we heard the prophet Amos, if you have an opportunity to read prophet Amos, he's a prophet that says, seek God and live. He says it right in the middle of his book. Seek God and live. You would think Israelites would know this message well, that they would be sharing it with others, and yet they were keeping it to themselves or not even sharing it. They were ashamed of it. They had other things that were more important. King Jeroboam reigned for 41 years. At that time, they became excellent in exporting olive oil, wine, and horses. But it's also known as a time of oppression and exploitation of the poor. Amos tells the people of Israel, why are you doing this? They crave for what? Amusement. This is Amos speaking to the people of Israel. And there's idolatry at all these religious sites in Dan, Bethel, Gilgal, and Beersheba. But what are they worshiping, brothers and sisters? They're worshiping the same gods of the Assyrians. They're worshiping the same God of the Philistines. They're worshiping the same gods of the Egyptians. And here God is calling his prophet, Jonah, to share a message of hope. Yes, a message of judgment with the Ninevites. And he tells these sailors who were desperate to find a solution. The solution for this problem is throw me overboard. You heard me. I can imagine them just standing back, what? And I can imagine Jonah just saying like this, just throw me overboard. Oh, I think we didn't hear you, Jonah. What's the solution to calming the sea? Just throw me overboard. Look what these sailors pray. We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life. And do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. They were afraid. In fact, they start rowing as hard as they can. And the harder they row, the stronger the winds get, the higher the waves get, the mightier the storm gets. So verse 15 tells us they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea. And the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. Is that the Advent message, brothers and sisters? Fear God and give him glory. These men, these heathen sailors, whoa! We've never seen this before. Who is this God? What's his name? He created the heavens, the earth. He created me. It says that they feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Boy, if there was ever a successful evangelist, that was Jonah. Amen? I have never seen any of the other minor prophets or major prophets like Jeremiah. They failed miserably with their message to the people of God. And here Jonah, boom, preaches to a group of sailors, and they all are converted. They are all transformed. They all say, God, we will make vows to you. What is it that you want us to do? We will serve you, God. Thank you for saving us. Verse 17 tells us the Lord at that moment had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. There's a beautiful prayer here in chapter 2. And if you have time this afternoon, read it. In fact, for Wednesday night prayer meeting, we will be studying the book of Jonah. We'll go a little slower. We'll look at chapter 1 this coming Wednesday. The following Wednesday, we'll do chapter 2. But Jonah does something every one of us can do in our moment of need, and that is pray. Pray. Brothers and sisters, do you believe God's people are praying too little? Yes. Are we trying to figure out stuff on our own? Are we trying to just put ideas together and strategies together and just saying, okay, if we do it, we will get the work done. Do you think we could do much more if we took time to pray? Do you think we could do much more if we ask God for his Holy Spirit to come into our hearts, to help us with this great task? And he's given us a great message to share. Jonah prays, a beautiful prayer, found in chapter 2, verse 1, says, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. He was not shy to say why. God, I am in trouble. I am a sinner. I've disobeyed. I'm running away from you. In your great mercy, you've spared my life. Yes, I feel trapped. Have any of you felt that way? I felt trapped. Trapped in the midst of a fish. But I'm going to take you to verse 9, all the way down to verse 9, where he says, "But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving." Does God like those type of sacrifices? Does he like to hear his people thanking him for life? Does God like to hear our prayers of thanksgiving for family, for friends, for food? He says, "I will pay what I have vowed." I can imagine Jonah praying, "Okay, God, you want me to go to Nineveh? I will go to Nineveh. But I'm first going to need to come out of this fish. Can you do that?" And what do you think God responded? "Of course." Jonah finishes off his prayer by saying, "Salvation is of the Lord." Amen? Salvation is of the Lord. Is that the Advent message? Salvation is whose? God's, the Lord's. That is the message that we are invited to share to a world that is perishing in sin, to a world that is falling apart, to a world that is sinking in mud. There is a Savior. His name is Jesus, and he can pull you out. Amen? He can cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He can change your hardened heart. There's nothing impossible for God if we are willing to trust him. And we know that God wants always the best for his children. Amen? We can trust him. I have a quote that I want to close with. That's Assyria. That's how great it became. It wasn't that big in the time of Jonah, but it extended its boundaries, its borders. We are on the verge of the eternal world. The judgments of God have already begun to fall upon the inhabitants of the land. God sends these judgments to bring men and women to their senses. He has a purpose in everything that he permits to take place in our world. And he desires us to be so spiritually minded that we shall be able to perceive his working and the events so unusual in the past, but now of almost daily occurrence. We have before us a great work, the closing work of giving God's last warning message to a sinful world. But what have we done to give this message? Look, I beg of you, at the many, many places that have never yet been entered. Look at our workers treading over and over the same ground, while around them is a neglected world, lying in wickedness and corruption, a world as yet unwarned. To me, this is an awful picture. What appalling indifference we manifest to the needs of a perishing world. Does it sound a lot like Jonah? Could it be that in many ways we're running away from God and what he is asking us to do? Could it be that we're busy? How many of us are busy? We're all busy. And yet there are thousands of people around us who have not heard the good news of Jesus. And this could be at work. This could be at school. This could be even at home. But I think Jonah shares with us a powerful message. Amen? It's a message of love, brothers and sisters. Amen? It's a message of grace. Is God patient with us? He's so patient with us. He's so loving. He's going to try one way or another to get our attention. At the very beginning of the gospel dispensation, he taught his church to rely not on worldly rank and splendor, but on the power of faith and obedience. Do we need faith today? We need faith. Obedience? God help us. The favor of God is of greater value than gold and silver. The power of his Spirit is of inestimable worth. What do we need? We need God's Spirit, amen? And I need God's Spirit right here. Right there, brothers and sisters. If we are going to finish the work that God has given us, to go to Nineveh and preach, the hour of God's judgment is here. Worship the one who created the heavens and the earth. Brothers and sisters, we, like Joan, are going to have to pray. We, like Joan, are going to have to say, God, help us. Humanly speaking, this work is great and awesome. Impossible for human beings to accomplish. But what is impossible for man is possible for God. Amen? And he's promised us a resource that is never ending. He's promised us his Holy Spirit to work in us, to work through us, and to work in spite of us. Amen? Do we have a great message, brothers and sisters? It's the same message found in the Old and New Testament. Same message right there. We have a big task to do. And yes, we cannot do it on our own strength. But praise the Lord, he's promised us his Spirit. Do you want to share this message this week? Amen? Do you want to invite Jesus into your heart? Amen? And ask him, God, help me. I can't do this on my own. But praise the Lord, you've called me. Can you say that? You've called me. You've called me for a great task at a great moment in Earth's history. So one day we can worship a great God and live with him in a great kingdom. Amen? May the Lord bless us as we continue to trust in him. Amen.